We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Next to the stage, Frank. Thank you for joining us, sir. Frank, can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes, Frank.
Frank Isola, is it?
No.
I
okay.
Wish.
just
hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. A huge fan. Listen, I just wanted to give my two thoughts on the Dame thing and get your opinion. First and foremost, I think the Knicks are going to do whatever if they are on the short list that, and these reports are true, because I don't think Dame really squashed anything yesterday. I just think he did a great job of what athletes do. And I think he squashed the momentum heading into the Olympics because he didn't want to be the story. But I think that if he is on the short list, I don't think there's any way that Leon Rose, Wes, Brock Allen, these guys are going to just let him go by the wayside. I don't think RJ is going to stand in the way of them obtaining a star of his stature, because I think the credibility that Dame restores for the franchise and deeming an end to that moniker of the Knicks can't get star players, I think that has value. I think that has some type of value to it. So my question to you guys is, I think this all comes down to is, how do we truly, truly assess Julius Randle? Because is he a one-hit wonder, or is he a guy that we truly, truly believe in that could be a second banana? Because I think in what I've been hearing from Knicks fans is the last 24 hours, it's kind of like, well, you can't win with Julius Randle and Dame. Well, okay, but if you believe Julius Randle is that guy, like I've heard Knicks fans say all year, if you believe he is, if you believe the playoffs were more of an aberration and not the norm for him, then you have to do whatever it takes to get a star of that ilk. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, a couple things. I like where your head is at generally. I have a couple of like slight nitpicks for, well, mm-hmm. to any fans who are saying that about Julius Randle, look, I'm not saying Julius Randle is definitely a number two on a title team, but I just remember there were a lot of post games I did last year where there were people in the chat and super chat and whatever saying like, why do we need to go get a star? We have our star right here. Julius Randle could be the, you know, why can't like this team go all the way with internal improvement? So like, it's interesting how people fluctuate, I think, very drastically. I think with Julius, if you believe that the shooting is real and you, or at least, you know, 90% real, like whether he's a number two or a number two A, like he's in that conversation. On the Dame stuff, I think they've restored credibility. I don't think it's about that. I think it's about purely, if you're the president of basketball operations for a team, your job is to win a championship. And that is the dumbest fucking oversimplification anyone has ever said, but it's also not untrue. That is your job. I think whether or not they put RJ in a trade, whether or not they go hard after Dame, whether or not they dip their toe in the water and see what the market's like, I think all of that is going to be determined purely based on what they think they can give up for him and still have enough left, whether that be by way of cap space. I don't know what else would be coming back in the trade. I don't know what else would be going out in the trade. Like, and assets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, picks, players, all that stuff to still build a contender, which is a very convoluted way of saying I don't think sentimentality is going to play any role in the trade discussions that may or may not happen with Portland, because I don't think sentimentality plays any role in any trade discussions that have ever happened between people running basketball teams. I think they make the furtherment of that goal. I just, when you say I don't think RJ is going to stand in the way of a trade, I think that depends. Is it just, are they giving up RJ and like two firsts, and that's the whole trade for Dame Lillard? Then, yeah, no, I don't think RJ is going to stand in the way of the trade. I don't think that's going to be the case. But if it's RJ quickly, Obi, Mitch, Thor firsts, and like three swaps, then yeah, I think RJ Barrett's going to stand in the way of a trade, because I don't think they're going to feel like they can build a winner after giving up all that stuff.
Well, Jonathan, to clarify what I meant in terms of the credibility, I meant that there's still this partial media narrative, and I've heard you say in the past, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, that shit matters. The narratives matter, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, these young generation of NBA, I'm a 40-year-old guy, but these young generation of NBA players, they pay attention to media narratives, whether we want to acknowledge that or not. That is always the elephant in the room with these guys. What I mean by that is they don't want the Stephen A. Smiths of the world getting off First Take or whatever other these shows are and saying, oh, well, the Knicks still can't get a star. They were a one-hit wonder. That is the narrative that I feel that the Knicks and Leon Rose are have to protect against or fight against in terms of getting a star in the building to squash that narrative. Because it's still out there, so maybe not to the extent it was a year ago, but it's still out there. And I understand, as Knicks fans, we want to just conveniently gloss over that. But it, what matters is what these players pay attention to, and the perception, right? Perception is reality. So that's what I mean by restoring the credibility of the franchise, where that can permanently go away. Because the Knicks haven't had a big star in the building since they traded for Melo. Those are facts. Now the thing I think with Dame, he's going to take RJ quickly and Obi at a minimum, and I think it's going to take about three first rounders. I don't know, because I think it's going to be the Anthony Davis type of package, because I don't know how comfortable you are with that, and I would love to hear you and Andrew's opinion on that, but I think it's going to take that kind of package. What do you guys think?
So I'll jump in real quick and just say that, well, I would be nothing if not an executive producer, and plug that we did a whole cap or no cap on what it would probably take to get Dame. And if you want a full detailed an account, especially with Jeremy's brain involved and how it would work with the cap of what a trade would probably have to look like, you can check that out on our YouTube channel or the feed. I agree with you on the package personally, which is why I'd be against it. The thing I've tried to pay attention to, Frank, is not necessarily how I feel or how Knicks fans across Knicks Twitter and Knicks content world feel about Obi, Mitch, RJ, the Quickleys of the world. It's how the league feels. And I have not heard, I know there was the Hollinger piece with Vorkunov said that it can happen, that you could trade for Dame without getting RJ. It's just not likely that the price is going to come down that far. What I'll say as far as narrative goes, last year was the first time in a long time there was that stretch during the 9-game winning streak. I don't want to forget it, where there was like a legitimate press tour of we're getting Julius Randle on the Woj pod. He's, you know, they're doing a full Charles Barkley comp on the Simmons pod. They're waxing poetic about RJ Barrett's improvement. It's like, oh my God, RJ Barrett's a 40% 3-point shooter. Tibbs winning coach of the year, Julius winning most improved player, quickly making second. Like, I think a lot of that narrative came from the Knicks are a mess and no one's going to go there while they're a mess. And now that mess seems to have figured out a hint of competence. And so I'm less afraid of we have to trade everything for Dame because no one's coming here. And I'm more confident in this front office that if they stick to a plan that's focused around development and then, you know, recruitment, I just, you know, learn the game from William Wesley. You can never check me. That there's a reason this guy now is the lead recruiter of the Knicks. He's got some of the biggest credibility among people in the sport. So that's right.
Also, they're on his list. Like, the fact that they're on his list is meaningful in and of itself.
Yeah, but I have just to play devil's advocate for a second. Being that they are on his list, wouldn't that put more pressure on them? Because I'm not talking about as far as what we think. I'm aligned with you guys thinking. Mm-hmm. I am talking about from the media perspective. We know how this media works. We know the pressure they're going to put on the Knicks. We know that Stephen A. Smith is going to go on First Take and say the Knicks better close this deal with Dame. We know these things are going to happen, and these players do pay attention to that. There's another guy that puts the Knicks on the list, and the Knicks couldn't close the deal. I think that can do a bit of not maybe a lot, but it's going to put a chink in the armor of this goodwill that we've built up over the last year.
The only thing I'll say is I'm not sure. So two players, right, have put them on there that I can remember. It was Kyrie and AD. I'm not sure the AD thing was ever real, and I'm not sure anybody in the league really thought the Knicks being on AD's list was, like, super. Like, personally, I was always like, he's going to L.A., and I think the Knicks probably thought that as well, which is why they didn't get more. I mean, and then Kyrie back before that, like, that was – they were not in a position to trade for him then, you know, it wouldn't have made sense. So but listen, it's a valid point, man. I'm not going to disagree with you. It's a valid point.
Yeah, and then that's all I was saying. I understand how we think as a Knicks nation in our Knicks bubble, but
yeah.
These players pay attention to the national media narrative. And the coming off of what the season the Knicks had, whether it was overachieved or not, there's going to be expectations next year on the Knicks, and not closing the deal on a guy like Dame. I think it's going to do a little bit of PR damage to them. Especially if it comes out, well, they didn't want to include RJ Barrett in the deal. Like, I think that does more harm to them in the long run. Then, as far as PR, well, as far as narrative, as far as all that is concerned,
if they're wrong about RJ Barrett, or let me rephrase that, if they keep RJ and he turns out to be just, like, you know, an okay player, then sure, they'll get clowned. If they keep RJ Barrett and RJ Barrett becomes, like, what we all think and hope and pray he could be, that's a different story. That's the only thing I'll say.
But I mean, is he ever going to be on Dame's level?
No, but he doesn't need to be to make keeping him out of a trade the correct decision, depending on the other parameters of the trade. That's the only thing I'll say.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the time.
Of course, man. Thank you.
Of course, Frank. So I've already said this in the chat. We're going to try and get to noon. John, I'm sorry we're going a little long. But we have
This is great. I'm good to go.
Awesome. Next up, Justin Richards, as always. Welcome to the stage.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah. Sir.
What's up, Justin?
All right, cool. Not much. Hey. Hope everyone's having a good day. All of the good stuff. Because I kind of these two-parters. My first question is kind of, and it leads into my second question. Do you think, just player for player, right? I'm not talking like maybe like superstars like Giannis and Embiid and Joker, but do you think having a high usage guard is more is more important now than to having a forward or a big, just because of how the way the game is and like how spread out it is?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I don't know what else to say.
I'm asking that because wouldn't then that make sense for us to then trade for Sexton And so the reason why I say that is because I think I'm I don't see a way that we get RJ. We get Dame without trading RJ. I've looked around several times. Maybe you guys came up with something for the no cap cap pod on Monday, but I can't think of one. So if we're already saying that's a point, and this kind of goes to what Andrew said on the little mini pod you guys did before, wouldn't it just make sense? We're just talking about like low asset, high asset. Right, yeah. Now, Sexton is not looked at as like a high end asset, right? But no. If you bring him in for, again, we don't know what Obi is, right? But that's good and bad. It's, you can allure a team saying, oh, we don't know what he is. He could be a bright star. You guys need a forward. We need a guard. Let's just do this swap. Or not swap, but, you know, you do the trade. And you get Sexton in here. And while I don't think a Sexton plus X, RJ, Randall, Mitch is a team that can win the title or, you know, maybe get to the conference finals, I think it'll be a good team. I think it's a team that people will start looking at as being like, okay, free agents want to go there. And then you just then sign Sexton to a smart contract and then just flip him for the thing that you need. And for me, that is the best way to do this deal, because you're going to have to raise up someone value that's cheap, right? Like, you're gonna have to make someone worth more for another team than they are for you right now. And for me, it's just like, I just think that doing something like that makes more sense. That's why I would be in more on trading for Sexton, even if it means giving up Obi and a pick.
I know. I have a feeling I know what Andrew's going to say, so I'm going to just speak very briefly first.
Go right ahead. You know,
I think there's a. I completely agree with your general point that high usage guards are more valuable than ever in the league, but there's.
I think we might be losing John. I mean, he said most of what
Jordan John Clarkson is a high usage guard. Whoever, right? Yeah, no, you go, Andrew, and I'll chime in after.
Well, no, like, I mean, yes, I agree 100%, Justin. I don't think this is a no brainer as anybody. If anybody's saying like you have to trade for Sexton, that's the only thing I would push back on. Like, I do understand if. Like, the negatives are there. The cons are there. I see the upside, and I like the upside, at least.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not saying this is, like, a no-brainer deal. Like, every deal you make, there's going to be some level of risk. Obviously, there's – so even going, like, signing Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, there are people who, when they didn't come to the Knicks, were like, I wouldn't do that deal, and Kevin Durant might be the best player in the league right now. Oh, so it's like, dude, there's always – yeah.
Don't get me started. Back when I was doing Knicks stuff then, it was like KD and Kyrie were coming. Should we trade everything for Anthony Davis? And it was like, no, I want to let Kevin Knox develop. I liked the season where we won 17 games. It's like, all right, to each his own. I like winning, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And I guess so the reason I obviously even brought that up too is like, so, and I get upset when people do like the whole Halliburton thing where it's like Nick should have drafted Halliburton, because my whole point to that is like, okay, that's, you could argue that's a point, but then do you not like Quickly? Because then how are you going to have Halliburton and Quickly and Austin Rivers and then eventually Derrick Rose and Elfrid Payton and Alec Burks all on the same team? All, like, it's just you're going down a whole lane of things that just aren't possible. But yeah. My counter to that, or my devil's advocate point, is if, let's say they got Zeke Nnaji and wasn't Quickly, and they did get Halliburton. Do you think right now, and let's say everything else played out the same, do you think right now it'd be easier for them to trade for Dame, or it'd be the same? Like, ooh. The same package would be like, yo, like, we're still giving up RJ, Halliburton, and it's a lot of stuff. Or is it like, all right, we'll give you Halliburton, whoever the second guy we picked, and then all the picks?
That's a good question.
I was about to say, it's a tremendous hypothetical.
I think it'd be easier to trade for him because I think Tyrese Halliburton has more trade value right now than Emmanuel Quickly. I think that's pretty, yeah, right?
Not in Knicks content world, but I agree. I agree. You pull the league, the guy that finished runner-up in Rookie of the Year, or third in Rookie of the Year voting would absolutely have more trade value than Quickly.
Okay. But yeah, those are that was it. I know you're
not good up stuff.
The clock, so yeah.
No, we're good.
Good stuff as always, Justin. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. You guys have a good day.
You too, man.
All righty, George. Welcome to the stage.
Welcome. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on,
man? How you guys doing?
Doing good.
All right, man. It's been a while.
It has.
It's been a while. I jumped in late. You know, I woke up to listen to this, but it's, you know, it's early here in LA. Did you guys talk about what would be the least the Knicks would have to give? I have two questions. What would be the least the Knicks would have to give up for Sexton? Now, before you answer, I am not a Sexton fan. But, you know, 24 points is 24 points. You know, and a lot of people I love and trust or whatever, they, you know, they're fans. They think we should pull the trigger. I'm a no. But if the price is right, then sometimes you got to pull the trigger.
1932 and Knox, I guess, maybe. That feels like wishful thinking.
I think they wanted to draft Obi, right?
Theoretically.
Okay, yeah. Well, theoretically they'll want to trade for Obi too.
To just Obi in a pick?
No, Obi, the Obi Knox and then either 19 or 21. I think is honestly that's what drew me to the idea of this trade is like That I think is actually a fair thing. Unless you wanted to throw in multiple picks and make the entire trade draft based, you know, that's the compensation you're offering the Cavs, which not for nothing, I really don't want the Knicks to have to do that, you know.
Yeah.
The interesting question for me is would you rather give up 19 and 21 or Obi and I guess, you know.
Yeah. 19. That's what exactly I was yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Here's the thing that when we think about Sexton, what do we think he's going to be on the Knicks? Do you think he's still going to be a 20 points a game plus guy on the Knicks?
Yes, but I think they'd run him out there a point guard too.
All right. Okay, I believe if they run him out as point guard, I mean, you guys have watched tape. You guys watched him. He's not a point guard. He struggles finding a guy in the corner. His passes are not sharp. He doesn't see plays develop. Well, he doesn't really make the lob.
He's inconsistent.
I just don't. So the way he ultimately thrives on a team is as the two guard.
Or as the one alongside a primary somewhere else on the court, but like, I don't know, like how did he function with Garland? Like clearly Cleveland is not enamored with that pairing moving forward. But then again, Garland's not really a primary either. He's like, I don't know. We're still figuring out what Garland is, but like, Andrew, what do you think?
I mean, your whole thought about him being a combo guard has stuck with me as like, could he fit next to Derrick Rose or could he fit next to Vildoza? You know, if you put a guy that's going to be more of a facilitator
they're not going to run out a small back. I do not believe that they're going to run out a small starting backcourt. What would be interesting to me is if they got Sexton, would they try to get some playmaking at the two? Where is that coming from? I don't know.
I had a thought, but I'm not saying his name on this. No, Lonzo? Not Alonzo. He plays for San Antonio, but we have banned him from all. Yeah, don't worry. That's my thought.
Just don't do it.
I won't.
George, was there another question?
Yeah. So here's the other thing. Well, it's kind of plays into that. So let's say Sexton as is. So if we project him out to improving, you know, under the Thibs scenario and with the coaching, the staff that we have, he improves, right? So that's you know, that would be tremendous. But most likely he probably won't, because he is little. He doesn't play the defense the level that Thibs loves. So it's going to be problematic. But I'm with Joshua, where you take him, you improve his value, and then you flip him. And that's totally a great strategy. That can work. But can't the same be said for Obi?
Or
Emmanuel Quickley and the picks we have that we're going to get. I mean, let's say we get a Duarte. I mean, that guy's going to shoot. That guy's going to make buckets no matter what. Or we get a Trey Mann or Cooper even. You know, and because I've heard actually his shot is a lot better than the stats. Well,
but, and Ian Bagley reported this week that they were asking around on Cooper. So,
Think about all those assets, that the value of those assets would ultimately make the team stronger and better when it comes to, you know, asset distribution later on when it comes to the trade deadline or even a year from now.
I think it's a good question. I think the end game here is like, and we've talked about Sexton a lot already today, but to me at the end of the day, if you think he's a star, like in waiting, and like that that he'll be able to show that next season, whether it means you're going to build around him moving forward, or it means you're going to be able to flip him, like, then make the trade. If you think he's always going to be a limited player and he's always going to look like somewhat limited, like, maybe that's oversimplistic, but because like, you're probably not going to get a star at 19 or 21, but you'll get, like, you can get a really good player that's going to help your team for a long time and be under cost control for the next four seasons, which is great.
Cheap.
Cheap labor, man. That's what it's all about.
And this is probably one of the deepest drafts in years. And it's pretty flat. It's pretty flat.
Well,
after 9 or 10 through, 25.
I was about to say, like, from like the early teens to like the mid to late 20s, like, where, like, again, I'll reference a guy I brought up earlier in the show, like Jaden Springer. Like, Jaden Springer's a guy that's like, you're here, and he's moving up draft boards. People, like, are less concerned about his athleticism. Like, all these guys that you read about moving up draft boards, well, guess what? Somebody's going to be there, right?
Someone's dropping.
Like, at once. Yeah, right? There are going to be players on the board that will fall, that are decent players. So I don't know who those guys are going to be. But yeah, no, to your point, I think it is a kind of flat draft after that top 10 or so.
And the clock is kind of ticking on Cleveland, because they're going to draft Green or Suggs. So the minute they do, Sexton's value drops even further.
Well, unless they end up with Mobley, which is where some people are saying they want to end up. But again, this gets into like the world of draft dominoes, and who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good thought.
All right, guys, thanks so much.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Love, love all the stuff, man. Love all the
cap. Enjoy the rest of the day.
They're great.
Thank you, George.
Thanks,
man. Thank you,
George. All right. Two more, and then a special one to wrap up, all right? Okay. Joey, welcome to the stage. Joey, can you hear me? Is that a raccoon in his photo?
Is that who?
A raccoon in his photo.
Hold on, let me take a look here.
If you're driving, don't worry about it. No, it might be his dog. That's mean if that was his dog.
My app hasn't updated in a while. I still have an old, like, Justin still on my thing. So.
Gotcha. Joey, can you hear us?
Yeah, you got me. Sorry, I just dropped in and out there for a second.
Yeah, no, you're good.
You're really low, so I don't know if your mic is having issues.
Okay. Can you hear me a little bit better now?
Unfortunately, no.
So maybe just ask a quick question and then we can answer.
Yeah.
All right. Hot take. What are the odds that Obi Toppin is the best player on the Knicks next year?
Whoa.
That's...
Hey, about Julius last year.
Hold on. John, can I just... You're driving. I don't want you to crash.
No, I almost pulled off the side of the road.
I know. I almost dropped my phone. It was
with that
be...
question there. Can I just say real briefly?
Yes.
Like, it's okay. It's an insane question, but at the same time, like, if there was ever going to be a guy that was in a position to make a jump just because, like, opportunity, role, a year under his belt, we saw what happened after a year. You know, being a part-time starter at Dayton to, like, being literally the National Player of the Year. Like, it's insane, but it's
Emmanuel Quickly. Emmanuel Quickly is the guy that you're talking about that would have a year under his belt and then take a jump.
No. Obi has the pedigree before this of being, like, a dominant player, and he was in the worst possible situation for himself last year. He saw his floor at the end of the year, and his floor as an NBA player is still good. If he gets put in a good situation, let's say Julius gets hurt to start the season, he gets, like, real run, real minutes. I don't know. All I'm saying is, don't snooze.
That's great. I think if Julius Randle's on the team and he's healthy for a majority of the season, Julius Randle's going to be the best player on the Knicks next season. Perhaps not by a comfortable margin, because I think RJ is going to get a lot better.
That's the thing. We're just saying that whoever else they get is also not going to be better than Obi Toppin, that RJ is going to... So in this scenario where Julius gets hurt, RJ gets hurt, Quickly gets hurt, Colin Sexton gets hurt. Oh, no, they didn't trade for Colin Sexton because they have Obi Toppin still. Then, yes, Obi can take a jump. He'd be the best player on the team, and they'll... They're 12 and 40?
Obi's the best athlete on the team, and he had the best college career on the team. But, and he was put in the worst situation on the team last year. So I don't think you need all those contingencies for him to make this insane, what seems insane now. But if you look back at the history of those Naismith players of the year that are forwards and centers, they all make an insane jump in their second season. Even like Anthony Davis.
Here's what I'll say very briefly. I could see a scenario next year where, like, Randle misses 2 weeks with, like, a hamstring strain or something, and Obi starts for him. And we're sitting and having a conversation after that, after Randle comes back, like, ooh, is Obi Toppin the third best on the Knicks, you know, call in to WFAN to the, yeah, like that. That's
I love the take. I love the confidence in the guys we have. I love it. That's all I will say.
Easily my favorite hot take since we've been doing these things, without question.
Joey lost you. Joey, thank you. Seriously, thank you. That was
great. Wow. I made my Saturday. Yeah, awesome.
I'm going to be up at night thinking about that take in general.
As will I.
Jason, welcome to the stage, sir.
Jesus Christ.
Hey guys, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Jason?
If you're going to ask me what are the odds that Luka Vildoza is the best player on the Knicks next year, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to answer the question.
No, I want to talk about Colin Sexton. And I'm
Let's
actually,
do it.
You guys know I'm annoyed that how much of Knicks and intelligent Knicks fans on Twitter have gotten this all wrong. Okay, Colin Sexton is a free agent. I mean, he's not a free agent this year, is he?
No, he's got a year left before restricted free agency.
Him like if he's a free agent that the Knicks are signing for 4 years.
What that is?
He's an expiring contract, effectively, but you're going to have his restricted free agent rights.
Exactly. What I'm trying to get at is people will say things. I've heard people say things like, you know, would you sign him if he was a free agent? Well, he's not a free agent. He's a guy who's been paid $6 million, $6 or $7 million for 1 year, and you have restricted free agent rights. That's amazing. Okay. I don't think people understand how, like, it's capital, I think, $19 million. The Knicks would have, if they, depending on free, they would still have close to near max money in 2022. So whatever plan you guys have for the Knicks to do in the next 2 years, they could still do it even after this trade. That trade is a long run.
Yes, so I get what you're saying from the financial perspective, but what about the part about what you're giving up for him, and what about the fact that you know from his representation, you know, what he wants?
Yeah, I understand that, John, but what he wants is not every player wants a max. That doesn't mean they're getting a max. Let him go to restricted free agency, and then you decide on a deal. If he plays amazing, then he'll get paid. Look at Brandon Ingram. Nobody thought he was going to get a max. Played at an all-star level and got a max. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to give Colin Sexton a max, but you know what? You have a year to see how good he is.
You do. I yes. No, listen, I'm just...
I don't mean to interrupt you, John. That's like... You've said it. Like, it depends what you view Colin Sexton as, and that's going to dictate what you think is worth giving up for him and then eventually paying him. If you think Tibbs can turn him into an All-NBA player, then great. If not, then your approach to this whole conversation is going to be different.
What are we giving up for him? I mean, you guys are overvalued.
I don't get
you. You're overvalued.
You're preaching to the choir here. Jason, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm the one that's pro-Sexton trade. So.
It's not like the Knicks are going to go out of this draft and be like, man, we can't pick anybody in this draft because we traded for Colin Sexton. Whoever you want the Knicks to get, they can still get.
Jason, you're preaching to the choir. I'm someone that's pro trading for Colin Sexton, even if it costs Obi Toppin. I'm saying somebody that is against that type of trade, it will be what they view Colin Sexton as, that he will be more of a detriment than anything else.
If Colin Sexton was the Knicks and he put up the stats last year with the efficiency, not just the point, the efficiency is what I'm talking about. People be arguing that he should have been an all-star. That's what the conversation would have been had he put up those stats on the Knicks.
I don't disagree. I don't think 24 point per game players grow on trees.
On 40%, 7% field goal percentage, and 38% three points. And he averaged 4.4 assists. But for a guy who can't pass, 4.4 assists is not that bad. And that's a lot, up a lot from the year before. I think they think of Colin Sexton as what he was coming out of college and what he was his rookie year. He's kind of a lot better. I'm not saying he's the perfect player, but to get a guy at 22 years old where you have his restricted free agent rights, that doesn't come often. If Colin Sexton was a great passer, then he would be a max guy. He would never be available in a trade like this. So there's like you take what you can get. And I love Obi Toppin, but I mean, I don't think Tibbs is ever going to play Obi Toppin at the five, and I don't know if he ever will be a good enough defender to play at the five. So where is he going to get his minutes in the next 3 years?
This Obi Top, I love the juxtaposition of our last two calls. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I do think there's a little more downside to what you're saying there could be. I do see the positives, though. I absolutely see the pros to a potential trade.
The downside, because what drives me crazy is, like, we keep talking about him, like, we're gonna, like, if he's a free agent, like, if we're signing him for, like, a free deal, we're gonna trade for him, and if we can offer him a deal that we like a deal that we think he's worth, and if he doesn't have that deal, we'll wait till next year, and then we'll decide what we do with restricted free agency.
Yeah. John, do you have...
That's a plan.
Yeah. John, do you have
any response?
What's the downside? Please tell me. I want to know. Because I don't really...
Yeah, no.
A couple of things. First of all, you can hear me okay, right?
Your connection's a little low, but you're good. Oh, maybe we can't hear you. John, try again.
Andrew.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We just hear him for 2 seconds and then he goes.
Well, yeah, Jason, your takes completely, like, eliminated John from the pod. It seems like.
All right. So what is the take? Is it that he's going to take? He's gonna take, but he's not primary. So I thought, why can't he play off ball? He's a good off ball shooter. And the fact that he's not a great passer means that you can probably get more offense to RJ and. Yeah, we're not going to get John in. So,
I'll try to answer real quick. And by the way, you're having some mic issues. I don't know if you're holding it up to your face or not. But
I don't know what's going on. Every time I'm on, you hear background noise. I don't know why. There's no.
All right, you're good. So the cons are, like you said, the passing ability, the fear of a good stats, bad team guy. There's some drives that the advanced numbers aren't great on him. Like, John wrote a newsletter about this week, the day after the trade came out. And I do see, if you're looking at the player we just had that didn't necessarily make his teammates better. There's some rumors that he wasn't getting along with the players that were there, that they had a lot of see, I'm not the one to make the case against them. I'm really not. I'd be a pro Colin Sexton trade. So I'm right there with you, man.
I'll leave after this, Admiral. It's the Cavs. He was drafted into a hard team, and maybe, guys, he doesn't like losing. And maybe that's why he has a problem with all his teammates, because they're okay with losing. I mean, the stories are that he's the first one in, last one out. That's tips to me. You know, I think he would fit like a glove on this team. And yes, he's not the perfect. Maybe.
John, you there? We lost Jason. Do you have anything to add?
I'll give this one more try. Sorry, I exited out of the app and re-entered. Hopefully, you can hear me.
We can. You have the little Wi-Fi signal next to you. That's really low.
I think it's just. I just think it's dangerous to let a guy run your offense who has not shown the proficiency to run your offense, and it can have really detrimental effects on everything else that you do. If he's going to be bad, like, I don't want him if he's bad at running an offense, because I think they're going to give him a chance to run their offense. That's the main point that I want.
I agree. So. I don't disagree, I should say. Okay, last but not least, he's here on his wedding day, Mensa. Congratulations, my friend.
Welcome. Thank you, guys.
Congrats, Mensa. Right.
Thank you. I actually kind of snuck off to make this phone call. Some green room call, because this was the one topic that I was like, man, I can't just sit by idly and not
do it.
Contribute. So about Dame. Well, I don't even want to talk to Colin Sexton, because that's just a whole, like, I feel strongly about both. But let's just to touch on Dame. I don't think Dame Lillard is stupid. And when I say that, I mean, I'm certain that Dame Lillard would know the assets that are needed to come back for him in any trade. And if you look at the Knicks roster, there's no way that you're going to be able to make a Dame Lillard trade without RJ Barrett. It's just untenable. I personally am against trading RJ Barrett for anybody. I wouldn't trade RJ Barrett for a firstborn child. I just love RJ Barrett. He needs to be a Knick for life. But if Dame Lillard has New York on his radar, he has to know that basically if he's coming here, it's just going to be maybe Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson left back and I don't know how much cap space, but I don't think that if Dame wanted to come to New York, he would be doing it without, and here's the big conspiracy name, I don't think he would want to do that without making a phone call to Kawhi Leonard and saying, hey, I want to go to New York. You can't win in you can't win with the Clippers right now. Let's go do this in New York for 3-4 years and win a championship together. Because it's just, I just can't imagine a situation where, and I do understand that the cap space is a weird thing, and maybe Julius Randle has to go out in order for that to happen. So maybe you do keep RJ Barrett, but there's just no way.
Is he a super team guy though?
I mean, after 10 years of getting your ass kicked, you know, by super teams, you know, that it kind of gets tired at, you know, just thinking, oh, I can do it in Portland and I can do it here. And the one thing, because I do pay attention to like the Instagram and the Twitter stuff, whenever Dame Lillard went at anybody, he was going at Paul George, he was going at Marcus Morris, he was going at the other guy, Pat Beverly. He never had a word to say about Kawhi because Kawhi kind of handles his business in quiet, you know, and I don't think that, if we're being completely honest, the Clippers are not a super team. The Clippers had Paul George and they had Kawhi. Kawhi plus anybody, I guess you can say, is a super team. But it's not like the Nets where they have Harden and Durant and Kyrie.
It's not even close.
So I wouldn't necessarily say that Dame and Kawhi plus the Westchester Knicks is a super team, but. I do think that personally, I'm against the Dame trade just because of what it would cost. But I do believe that if he does, he's not stupid, and if he wants to come to New York, he has to have something up his sleeve.
I don't know if he wants that. I get everything you're saying. That's his brand is like, I'm the guy who didn't take that route. You know what I mean? Man, I don't know. Andrew, what do you think?
I think it's funny. Mental was like, maybe eventually you have to become a super team guy. I've made my stance known about the trade doesn't make sense if you don't have another guy coming. I trust this front office that they wouldn't just trade for Dame and like, oh, we're done. Now we're going for it. I don't know. Mental, let me ask you a question. People have been comparing this to the Melo trade. And my frustration with that is like the Melo trade in a vacuum wasn't like the detrimental part to like, it didn't set the Knicks back. Like the Bargnani trade was worse. The Billups amnesty was worse. The fact that the 2016 season was so bad, the pick swap mattered was worse. Could that PTSD though be partly why Knicks fans, I mean, myself included, are against any type of trade for Dame?
I don't think so. Me personally, like I've been following the Knicks very, very closely since like 2009. So I would say that the assets the Knicks gave out in the Melo trade were all inconsequential. We didn't trade the 2016 pick for Carmelo Anthony. It was a pick swap, and it was a difference between pick right. 7 and pick 9. It was the Bargnani trade that screwed us in 2016. And it was, again, it was the Amari Stoudemire contract. It was amnesty. Everything that we did around Carmelo Anthony. And then on top of that, Dame Lillard is a better player. I just believe that if you are trading everything, it's not, you know, if you're trading everything for Dame Lillard, you don't have anything to get a third guy. You don't have anything to build around. You just have cap space, and you kind of have to hope that you draft a Talen Horton Tucker or a Draymond Green or somebody in the second round that becomes that guy, and that's not going to happen for 3-4 years. And at that point, Dame Lillard is 34 years old. I think the difference between the Melo trade is Melo came here at 26. Dame will be coming at 31, 30.
Right.
And that's just you don't have that same window of opportunity to build around him, and we also don't know. We may believe in him, we may love him, but we don't know if Julius Randle is actually the top 15 performer he was this year.
My own two cents is I think the more likely scenario before Dame and Kawhi team up here would be that they wouldn't give up every asset for Dame. They would give up a lot of assets for Dame, which would be centered on picks in the future. And, like, they would keep a young player, probably not RJ, but, like, whatever, Quickly, Obi, like, a young player. And maybe a young, maybe two young players, I don't know. But they would have enough left in the cupboard, both by way of cap space and assets, to still make two more moves, like whether it's signing Lowry and trading for, again, I don't even know who the player would be, but like, you know, like a forward or a playmaking, you know, wing or something, like, I don't know, not Oubre because Oubre sucks, but like, I think they would be able to leave enough where they are able to make a couple more moves where it would be like, you got Dame, you got Julius as your 2A, you got another guy kind of as a 2B, you bring in a third/fourth guy, you know, and you be able to sign Rose on an extension or whoever, or I mean, the exception. If they did it, I think that's Andrew. You there?
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, I'll summarize. I think your margin for error with the remaining cap space, Mensa, is just like, it's zero if you trade everything for Dame. You know, so it makes it that much more important to like wait for the right time. Like Jeremy's talked about this, where the superstar trade has to be like the last piece of the puzzle, not a middle piece. Because then you still have so many. What's up?
I fully agree with that. And the reason why is because everybody, this is a league where you'll blink and another star player will one out. The guy that I personally have been looking at is he's a free agent in 2023, which means that his team is on the clock right now, and they just lost one of their best players to injury. Nikola Jokic will be a free agent at the age of 29 years old. He can demand a trade before he has to sign up with Denver. Does he believe that Denver can do it without Jamal Murray and with Michael Porter Jr.? Does he like Michael Porter Jr.? So it's like, and that's just one guy, you know, off the top of my head, who could demand a trade. So it's like, would you end up regretting trading for a 30-year-old Dame Lillard 6 months before Nikola Jokic demands a trade and you have no assets to get him? You're stuck with Kuzma and Taylor Horton Tucker the way the Lakers are. You know, like, it's just, so I think that the Knicks are in prime, they're in a prime position to pick the player they want. They can continue to build the asset base, make smart moves, and then when they have, you know, like a Jaylen Brown and a Jason Tatum or RJ Barrett and Julius Randle really do develop and become that 1-2 punch that you can add another guy to and be that superstar team that can compete for a championship and be in that Final Four for the next 3-4 years, then you can make your big swing. Then you can move quickly Obi Toppin and maybe Moses Moody if you move up and grab a guy like that. And it just makes, and then you still have all your picks. But making that trade now, I think, is short-sighted. I think it is it's ill-timed, and we just have to continue along the path. And I know that, you know, as a star fan base, we, you know, you watch the series we had against Trae Young, and we're like, man, if we had Dame, we don't lose that. You know, and it's easy, you know, to attach yourself emotionally. But at the end of the day, this is about winning a championship, and the way to win the championship is to manage your assets the right way. And Knicks right now trading for Dame Lillard and just going to war with Dame, Julius Randle, and whoever they can, you know, pick up is just not, it's just untenable. And then you're locked into that team over the course of the year. And I don't think that's the smart thing to do.
Good stuff, Mensa. Congratulations. Do you want to go get your bride-to-be and see if she has a take on Dame, or is that against the rules?
Yeah, it's probably against the rules.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm running my vows right now, so I got to get back to that.
Have a blast today, man. Congratulations.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, of course.
Congrats again.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
John, what do you remember from your wedding day? We'll wrap up with that. Like, one thing that you remember the most from your wedding day.
Man, I got hammered.
so not much?
So I don't remember much. Yeah, I had a great time at my wedding. My wedding was, I remember everything about my wedding day, but what's one thing I remember? My wife looked absolutely gorgeous.
There you go. You can tell who else is in the car. Hi, Dolores.
Oh, Andrew says hi. Hi, Andrew. She says hi. I will be in one location next week. This week was insane because I had a lot going on. But
my damn house already. Oh my god.
Oh well, that's interesting. You don't even want to know what's happening right now. I'll tell you later. I do, but I just want to say thank you to everybody and sorry for my technical issues, and always thank you everybody for bringing the heat.
There you go. Thank you everybody for tuning in. If you dig the show, head on over to iTunes or drop a 5-star rating and a review. If you would like an additional bonus episode of the Knicks Film School podcast, for $7 a month, we drop an extra episode per week. Head on over to our Patreon. Episode 1 is already available now. We'll be back next week, same time. Well, similar time, similar place. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Adios.